Parshas Shoftim describes the protocol for warring with nations, even those who are resident in the land of Israel, and about whom the Torah legislates extinction. Parshas Shoftim reminds us that we should first solicit peaceful resolution, either relocation, as happened with the tribe of Girgashi, or some form of conversion to not Judaism, but at least monotheism, Ger Toshav-like experience, roughly what happened with the Givonim, although that didn't end so well because there was trickery and deceit. The Medrash highlights the origins of this policy. It's a fascinating Medrash. I'm Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin b'shem Rabbi Levi. So Rabbi Levi would address the following question. Everything that Moshe added to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original divine mandate was ultimately accepted by Hashem. And Reb Levi gave two examples. One example was the shattering of the Luchos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe to deliver the Luchos. He never instructed him to shatter or to break or dissolve the Luchos. He had, according to Chazal's drasha, Asher Shibarta, in the end of the Torah, is can be read phonetically as a Yasher Koach to Moshe, Yasher Koach Shibarta. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with Moshe. And the second aspect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe's adjustment or intuition was this aspect, of first offering our enemies a chance for peaceful resolution. And this dates back to the end of Sefer Bamidbar, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to rout Sichon Melech Amori, and Moshe attempts to create a peaceful opportunity for some covenant or treaties or armistice, and once they refuse, he goes to war as a second option, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with that. Now, this Medrash conveys, I think, two very, very different points, or three very different points. Number one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is perfect and ideal, but sometimes changes have to be adapted to a real world of compromises and concessions, and certainly the image of Moshe shattering the Luchos. In a perfect world, man isn't disobedient. In a perfect world, the experience of Har Sinai can be perpetuated unlimitedly, but in a real world, people sin and people fail and people fall. And Moshe realizes that the Luchos are not yet ready. The human audience is not yet ready to receive the Luchos. As much as he would have preferred that route and that trajectory, he's able to switch in midstream and realize that they're not yet ready to embrace the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will be deferred for a few months till the second Luchos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to empower people to make those concessions, not of course to break the fidelity or the integrity of halacha, but to shape it and address the real world in which we live with all the limitations on religious experience and on religious consciousness. Similarly, in Hashem's ideal world, paganists have no place to reside in Israel or near Israel, and they have to be eliminated. But human beings have to deal with the consequences of militant behavior on their emotions, on their identities, and if peace can be established, then that adjustment is important, and it's a chance for humans to realize that when we have to make adjustments that don't break the system, those adjustments are healthy and necessary, and they receive the approval or the validation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think in this case, though, if we ignore the Luchos for a moment, I just described the common denominator between Moshe's shattering of the Luchos and Moshe's soliciting peace from Sichon. I think in this instance, there is a specific message, because the instruction to destroy another nation, to annihilate them, has to cause some moral discomfort with any sensitive, life-affirming, kind human being. The breaking of the Luchos, as traumatic and as frustrating as it must have been for Moshe, is not a moral challenge. It's a historical question. It's a theological quandary. But here, you're caught between the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the specter and the repulsive specter of committing genocide. It's an akedah moment. And obviously, if the two can't be reconciled, then a person has to submit to the divine will. And because at the core level of Jewish belief is that we can't understand Hashem's will and we can't arrogate moral superiority and activities which seem immoral to us, if clearly mandated by a direct prophecy, have to be acted upon. But Hashem wants us to struggle with that question. And to the degree that we can find a compromise solution that doesn't violate the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He wants us to come up with such a solution. And Moshe Rabbeinu's terms for peace would have been as it was with the Givonim, accepting monotheism and eliminating paganism from their culture without necessarily eliminating them. So the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we believe it to be the utmost moral prerogative and far surpassing any moral intuition at a human level, when that word seems to be abrasive to basic human sensitivities, Hashem invites us to question, to churn, to struggle, even when we can't find a solution. Just that moral discomfort is important to Him. And He proves that Moshe waged war, solicited peace. And that's why in Parsha Shoftim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the policy, so to speak. And that's really the point of the Medrash that Hashem said. I'll read the end of the Medrash. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach amarti lecha lilachem imo, I told you to war with them, and you solicited peace. Chayecha shani mekayim gzirascha. Therefore, I'm going to institute your policy globally, widespread, across the board. And in Parsha Shoftim, Ki tikrav al-ir, when I introduce the protocols of war, I'll include your adjustment, I'll include your modification as law, as the paradigm. So Hashem wants human beings to, if Hashem is, so to speak, obviously Hashem has foreknowledge and Hashem pre-calculates Moshe's adjustment and will include it as policy. But Hashem wants it to come from a human being. And Hashem wants that moral deliberation to take place when He imposes His will that sometimes we can't understand. And if that will seems to run counter to human morality, He wants us to struggle with that issue, look for solutions. If we can't find solutions, submit to His will, but sometimes there are solutions. And it's such an important message because as the modern world introduces new challenges, we sometimes find ourselves caught between the indomitable and unknowable will of Hashem and our own personal sensibilities. And this is not the context to elaborate some of those situations, but we're facing them not just in global historical questions such as the genocide of Amalek, but even in social questions about how we build our communities and looking at people that and trying to reconcile, on the one hand, certain statements that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes about human behavior and human identity and sincere and kind people who seem to differ from some of those divinely mandated profiles. And it's important for us to accept that struggle rather than simplify, because the simplification nullifies either of the two important poles or absolute fixed points in religious identity. One is our belief in the unknowable but supreme will of Hashem, and the other is our sensitivity to every human being. So it's important to embrace that struggle, to try to find solutions. In this case, Moshe found the solution. Of course, Hashem wanted him to find that solution. So the first level of this medrash is simply that the attempt of Moshe Rabbeinu to match the ideal word of Torah to the fallen, pragmatic world, and that's something which is reflected both by the Luchos as well as his solicitation of peace and petitioning for peace before going to war. The second issue is the entire specter of humans or human beings struggling to reconcile divine will when it runs counter or is incongruent with human moral sensibilities. I think the third level to this is specific about peace, not necessarily general moral quandaries, but about the search for peace. The word shalom, of course, is related, at least by Chazal, to the word shlemos. Shalom means peace and harmony. Shlemos means being able to reconcile a full gamut and a full range of factors, experiences, in ways that to human beings seem contrary, because human beings are limited, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oseh shalom uvareh sakol. When Hashem is oseh shalom uvareh sakol, it doesn't just mean He creates a peace treaty between day and night. It means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, day and night are integrated. Hashem is echad, and it's only humans who are binary who experience day and night as dichotomous, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both for Hashem it's day and night, and there's no contradiction between fire and water, and there's no contradiction between good and evil. These are only contradictions at a human level because we're limited in our ability to integrate. And as we grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we become more of a Shalem, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem, and we taste some of that ability to integrate seemingly irreconcilable or discrepant experiences. And that's the ultimate Shalom. The ultimate peace is to create that, what we would call universal or cosmic harmony, where everything can be come from one being and one creator, and there's no clash. And that's the unique experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and human beings will never completely reach full Shlemus. Yaakov tastes Shlemus. Chazal speak about Avram in that light, Vashem Berechas Avraham Bakol. So essentially for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no pursuit of Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom, and that's why in Sefer Shir Shirim, he's referred to as Melech Shehashalom Shelo, or Shlomo is a play on words about Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shir HaShirim HaShir L'Shlomo, HaShalom Shelo. Human beings have to struggle to reach Shalom because we live in a world of clashing values and needs and forces, whether it's amoral clashes such as fire and water, day or night, which we can't fully integrate or synthesize, or of course clashes of interest and clashes of moral factors, good and evil, and in this case, the clash between the desire to purify Eretz Yisrael from pagan influence and the legitimate desire not to shed blood. And that's a human struggle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to struggle, has to struggle for anything, but the challenge to try to build Shalom. And of course, when we shrink Shalom just to peace and harmony between Reuven and Shimon, or between a man and his wife, it's really under-presenting the whole process of Shalom. Or if you will, if Shalom is more micro between two people or two countries, Shlemus is much more cosmic, trying to reconcile the differences that our world presents and exhibits, even though in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world there aren't differences and there's no dichotomy because Hashem is Echad and there's no clash and there's no division or there's no compartmentalization. So Hashem creates a world in which he wants human beings to try to reach Shalom. So it's important that Moshe be the author or the purveyor, or the person who's pursuing Shalom, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposing Shalom upon us, because Hashem is so different from us that he can't, almost as if he can impose Shalom, because we're human beings and we can't live that reality, and we can only try to struggle to achieve relative success in that trajectory of integrating the different clashing forces in our world, again, whether they be amoral, they have no moral question involved, day and night, things that are fire and water, or they have some moral issue. So I think that there are three levels to this medrash. Number one, the struggle to adapt the ideal, perfect word of Hashem to a fallen world, shattering luchos, soliciting peace. Number two, the particular moral quandary that a person faces when identifying a clash between Hashem's instructions and moral sensibilities. And then finally, in general, not when there's a clash, but just we live in a world of clashing interests, and the more that we harmonize them, the more we live HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality of Shlemus. But this has to be fueled by the human desire to be more like Hashem, and that's why Moshe has to present this struggle and this solution that he finds, or at least a partial solution. Sichon denies Moshe's suggestion, other nations, the Givonim in particular, accept it, but this is of course a paradigm for the human desire to reconcile all the clashing and discrepant forces in his world.